Hello, welcome to the British Tech Network non-Thanksgiving big show. Yeah, we've got no Yanks tonight. It is all Brit. The British Tech Network is British, and we would have had a complete setup here, but Gaz let us down. So, unfortunately, we are not totally filled, but we are here to be the antithesis of the American Festival of Thanksgiving. If you're an American listener and you're enjoying your Thanksgiving, good to you, mate, because you deserve it. But joining me for this anti-Thanksgiving soiree, fantastic bunch. Top left, starting us off. Camps.
Evening.
I ain't seen you in for bloody ever, mate.
I know. I think, what was it, a few weeks ago we had some work and going on, and that stopped me. Friday night.
Can you believe this? I start and everyone's frigging screen freezes.
That's what I thought.
I've been sat here for half an hour with every sodding bugger on. They've improved Skype to make it better. Or no, they've changed Skype to make it better. Bastards. Hello, everyone. Are we back?
We're back again. Did we disappear?
That's got to be a new record. 30 seconds into a frigging show and everything freezes. Joining me, top left. I can get it. Don't worry. Camps, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Really good.
What's been going on, mate? Because we haven't seen you for ages, because we haven't had a big show, because we've had a just mass guest exodus at the last minute, last few times. So
yeah, I'm sorry. Work's been crackers on a it's probably for about 5 or 6 weeks now. So I've had plenty of Friday afternoons where everything's been going swimmingly, and then all of a sudden, that's me still stuck at my desk or on call, and things have gone a little bit belly up. So fingers crossed it'll calm down now.
Mate, you only work so that you can afford beer, not so you can get away in your social life.
That's true. Hopefully over the next few weeks, things will settle down as we approach Christmas.
I doubt that severely.
Hopefully.
Next to him, it's Ian Grant, who's in a mine by the looks.
I am in a mine. I'm in Yorkshire, so I'm in a mine. This is fine. Absolutely normal. Good evening, everybody. Sadly, my technology let me down at the last minute tonight, so I'm on my Surface, which is a perfectly good computer, but my normal broadcasting machine is a bit poorly sick, basically because it wants the new feature update to go on it.
Right, okay. And we are using, of course, Skype, which has been improved.
Massively improved. I don't know how I did without it. Really, I don't. If you want a list of expletives, I can give you them.
Oh, mate, Skype's not good. They've amended Skype. They've updated it to make it better. There's now some logo that appears here in the top right corner that's BT, and I don't know what that stands for, but that doesn't go anywhere. I have no idea what that is, so we need to figure that out.
Well, yeah, and there's a little B icon sits on your desktop, and you can't make it go away.
Yeah, and we've got a BT. It's for British Tech. There we go. That's what it's for. That's right, Matt Winch. Thank you. Well spotted. And last but by no means least, righty boy, you've had a rum old week, mate.
Oh, mate, I've been prodded and poked and had things put inside me and, old time.
How much do you pay per hour for that?
It's Norfolk, so family discount.
Oh, good, that's a great answer. are you well now?
I am. I've still got my tag on. My wife told me to take the tag off.
No.
But it's personalised, so I'm going to keep it.
Is your daughter still collecting all your hospital tags?
Yeah. Good. She's got loads.
Good.
Scrapbook.
And it's been, the thing is, we've had a great couple of weeks of tech news and we haven't done a big show. So I was really desperate that we were going to do this one because we've had loads of good stories this week. So we're definitely going to do... someone's saying, are we frozen again? No, we're not. We're fine. It's just you, Camps. Who's got the first story? You, Camps, I suppose you want to start us off, really, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in if I can.
You've got the first one of the week, I heard.
Yeah, he bags it earlier because he hasn't got any time to find a second story, lazy bastard.
Sorry, Ian. I think this has probably been one of the big tech stories of the week, or one of the main ones this week. So back in 2016... Uber had a breach. So essentially what happened is Uber had some login, all their login credentials stored in a private GitHub, which was used by the Uber engineers. And a couple of hackers found their way in there, managed to hack in the into the AWS account and steal personal information of 57 million users worldwide. And in the region of around about, I think it's about 600,000 Uber drivers as well. And they covered it up.
And paid the ransom.
Yeah, not only did they cover it up, they paid $100,000 ransom and then covered that up by saying, actually, it wasn't a ransom, it was a bounty. It was a bounty because they were encouraging people to find hacks. These people did it, and that was the reward. That was the bounty for them helping to cover up a gap that they had. Wow. So I think on so many levels, this is just absolutely wrong by Uber.
So this only remained a secret because no one said anything and they covered it up, and there was a board investigation into their business practices. I bet this is the least of the things that they're going to find. I just want to take a chance here, guys, in just a moment to say, do you remember I wrote an article a couple of years ago when Uber first hit London, and I said, I don't like what they do. I don't like where they do the triple charging. They've got some horrible business practices, and I'd rather take black cabs everywhere I go. And I always take black cabs now. I never take Uber. I just did 5 trips just to try them out, and they all were always trying to get more money out of me. And I said at the time, these lot are a bunch of wankers. And everyone told me I was being a Philistine and a twat, and I couldn't. And so here you go. I just want a bit of I told you so, if you don't mind, because I think I deserve it, the way you lot talk to me over that story. They are a bunch of wankers. They have the ethics of the gutter, and I spotted it years ago. Sorry, I got out of my system now.
Have you finished?
Yeah, I'm done. I'll put my soapbox away. Carry on.
I think you're right. I think this just shouts out that the ethics are absolutely bang out of order. I suppose your experience of Uber is very different to mine as a company, and I know we've talked about this before. Your experience of Uber, I think, is primarily London, am I right? Because did they have Uber here in Birmingham?
Yeah, we got Uber in Birmingham. Yeah, we got inside toilets as well.
Gas, electric, everything.
No electric.
So in Leeds, Uber, for me, are way undercutting price-wise all of the black cabs, black and white cabs, and all of the private hire companies. And whereas in London, obviously, you've got the knowledge, the drivers know the shortcuts, they know the way through the traffic. You don't get stung in the surge pricing periods. In Leeds, I'm not seeing that. And the reason I'm not seeing it, excuse me, is one, they're significantly cheaper on price, significantly. And I'm talking the difference of
£7.
Yeah, like a £7.50 taxi from where I live into Leeds City Centre on a private hire is probably around about £8.50 in a black and white cab, whereas it's less than a fiver in an Uber. And regardless of what kind of car I get, if it's a private hire or a black and white, I'm pretty much going to have to tell them which way to go, whereas Uber, because of the map system, I rarely have to do it. I can just sit there and either ignore the driver or have a chat, but I don't have to give them directions. So, yeah, I don't have the same experience in the car that you've talked about before.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced now. I think the way that they've uncovered, this has all been uncovered, and the business practices of Uber really makes me think, you know, yeah, okay, the cheaper. But it's not like I use taxis every day or even every week. I read a decent article this week that says the only way that Uber will realize how bad this is, truly realize how bad this is if people vote with their feet. Now, whether people actually do that or not, I don't know.
See, but this is the interesting thing for you, Counts, because you're following the business practice that Uber has had in a number of cities where they undercut the cab firms, the cab firms close, Uber then gets a monopoly on it, and then they start to rise the prices up, and then the triple charging comes and all that kind of stuff, and that's where they are in London. The thing that I found in London was if you got an off-peak Uber, it was generally, pretty much 99.9% of the time, it was cheaper than a black cab. If you're talking about 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, the Uber every time is way cheaper. But if you hit peak periods and you want to get anywhere, I found that black cabs were considerably cheaper because the black cabs, they've got the knowledge and they were ducking and diving around all the back routes, whereas Uber, they tend to, I mean, I'm going back a couple of years, so the knowledge has probably improved within Uber drivers since. But there was a lack of creativity in the route that they were choosing is what I saw.
Yeah, well, whereas we don't necessarily see that in leads now. And I think, although, yes, there is surge pricing, it probably has to go to about 1.4, 1.6 before it starts touching the other firms. But I think the big thing that we're seeing in leads at the moment is there is that many Uber drivers, there is that many Uber cars.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it really takes something before it hits surge. So like last Friday, I went into Leeds to a concert. My taxi into Leeds was £4.90, and that was about 5:30 Friday tea time, making my way down there. And I started coming home, I told my wife it was about 12, but I think it was about half one. And that taxi home only cost me a fiver.
Wow.
The one thing about Uber is that Uber's taken a while to get to York because our local licensing people have no, we're not having that. And it's been like that for years. Now they've appeared, it is mostly drivers that come out of Leeds. And for local translators, black and whites basically are private hire cars in Leeds. If you're a certified private hire car in Leeds, you've got to have black, you've got to have your car painted black and white.
Yep.
This is the rules, apparently.
It is.
In case anyone was wondering. Hmm. But the old thing with Uber, I mean, it's... the thing maybe we're missing, and the little thing that I think is, don't you think Uber have opened themselves up now to every script kiddie across the world to start hacking away at their servers, thinking there's a couple of bob to make?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah. They paid once.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the old thing. You don't pay your ransom to terrorists. You don't pay your ransom to hackers. They're going to be having their pants taken down every week by some little script kiddie trying to find their way in. And there's some clever people out there. They will.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
It won't be long before they'll have the trousers taken down again. But on the sort of subject of these kind of services, anyone tried a company called in the US called Lyft?
Well, that's one of the things I was going to say. And I think over in the US, when this rings out, Lyft have got to see this as an opportunity now. I don't know an awful lot about Lyft in terms of how big they are in certain cities across the US in comparison to, but I know that they're huge in some cities. We haven't seen Lyft in the UK yet. And I think Lyft needs to be jumping on the back of this. Absolutely exploiting the
trouble with Lyft is Lyft's a little bit different. Lyft is the kind of, I used Lyft extensively when I was over in Washington this year with work, and they were dirt cheap. We only ever paid like $5 for a ride everywhere we were going, just about, maybe 10 for a little bit further out. And every time it was just an ordinary guy like you and me driving somewhere that would pick someone up on their way to another place. They got enough time. They were off to see a friend, or they were going to do that, or they were going to do an hour of lifting before they did something else. You know, very sort of American ethic of million side jobs. But they were just going to go, all right, so, and the people we talked to all were saying the same thing, and they just do it as a bit of something else to do. I mean, I'm going that way anyway. I can pick up a couple of dollars from a fuel on the way.
But there again,
and I had some interesting conversations with a load of people on the way. It was I found it a really good experience, and I hope Lyft sees an opportunity to come to the UK. The only trouble is,
you can't.
I'm not sure how it'll work.
It'll never
be licensed.
It's got to be licensed, and that is a wild, wild west activity. And I bet you in the States there are some horror stories about how Lyft's gone wrong for people. Just like
my experience was very good, but I mean, again, it depends. I mean, I was in sort of very populous areas, so a bit different.
Haven't Uber been kicked out of London?
Haven't Uber
been kicked out of London?
Well, they were told that they were going to lose their operating license, and what the current status of that is, I'm not entirely sure.
I think they're going through appeal at the moment, and whilst they're going through appeal, they can continue to work, is my understanding.
Because interesting, I've never, obviously, we've still got horse and cart here in Norwich, so I've never been in an Uber or touched an Uber. It's interesting that you say about the like surge pricing and all that, because I thought that Uber's business model was that they subsidised the cost of the ride, so you got it cheaper, but what they're doing is collecting the data about where you're going.
If you're going to go somewhere late at night, you're not going to be subsidising anyone's ride. If you come, like, get a lift out of town or whatever, or lift into town. I mean, I've used them for both here, and you'll get mugged 1.5-2 times the current rate because it's the time of night it is.
And I think this comes, it purely comes down to how many drivers they've got available at that time in that particular place. The highest I've ever seen it in Leeds is 1.8 times. I mean, I've not been out on a Christmas Eve, on a New Year's Eve and times like that and tried to get one. But a Friday night, sort of 10 o'clock, when it's probably the peak time in and out of Leeds City Centre, you're talking probably up to 1.8 times, but still that only really matches what the other firms are charging.
Have you scrolled down this story and seen the story about Greyball?
I never picked it up.
So the revelation comes after Kalanick has been faced criticism over his management style and practices. The New York Times also reported on a secret program that Uber had called Greyball that had been undertaken under Kalanick's watch, which Uber staff members surveilled law enforcement officers for the purposes of evading them.
Yes, they did.
Using their location data.
Yeah. They wouldn't pick them up.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. The fact that you could even come up with that as a thought process just makes me think that there's a place in hell waiting for you when you die, because that is just disgraceful.
Yeah.
I've always said Uber. I've got no time for Uber at all, and I certainly haven't now. Just ridiculous, ridiculous firm, and the fact that, I mean, they're also original investors that put money in are suing Kalanick as well now. So, that's crazy.
I'm just wondering what. How many people, as a result of this, are really going to move elsewhere if the pricing that Uber have got in place? Is this going to be a case of that people might read the story, they'll have a few minutes of, that's not good, but they'll think, I'm still saving a few dollars on every trip. Sod it, I'm not going to move away.
Well, answer your own question, because you're the one that's got the subsidised region.
I will think twice next time about whether I use Uber or not.
That is a fence post answer. It's a yes or no question.
It absolutely is, and it'll be because it'll not be about price for me next time. It'll be about availability, because there is that many Uber drivers. There's that many Uber cars. You can get one immediately. Trying to get a black and white, you have to go down to Leeds City Station. You stood in a 20-minute queue. And if you want to get a private hire, you might as well just jump into the guy who winds his window down at the side of the road and say, you want a lift home, mate.
So mission accomplished then for Uber in Leeds.
It is.
Yeah.
The monopoly is there. You hit the button on your phone and it is there within a couple of minutes, is my experience of Uber in Leeds. Never wait.
Uber in York is similar. And the thing is, you don't have to wait at the taxi ramp late at night if you don't want to and queue behind 40 other pissed people. You can just call the Uber, it'll rock up roughly near enough where you've asked it to jump in and get you home. And I can't say fairer than that. Sadly, I probably will still be patronising them. Although I may change to use a different account to link up to it and a credit card without too much care. I've got too much worried about, if you see what I mean. Just in case it decides to get hacked, just in case any of my details did get out there on this 57,000 million, rather, email addresses.
Batwinch has said, since we don't have them in Cumbria, can you tell me, are Uber drivers licensed?
Yes.
Depending on the city. They're all licensed.
But they're not necessarily licensed to the city that they're driving in. So, for instance, what used to happen from a Leeds point of view, you had to have a Leeds taxi license or a Leeds private hire license to drive in the city. That was opened up, and I think, I don't know if it's West Yorkshire or part of the West Riding or those areas, but we get Uber drivers in Leeds from Bradford, from Dewsbury, Halifax, Huddersfield. And you can tell whether you get a Leeds driver as compared to a Bradford or a Dewsbury driver straight away, because they know how often they're checking the map. You can see.
So why don't you report them?
Because it's fine, they can do it. It's now a wider spread is the license. It's not a Leeds City license anymore. The license is, I think it's for the West Riding now. So a Dewsbury driver can drive in Leeds. A Leeds driver can drive in Dewsbury. Didn't used to be like that, but it is now.
Yeah.
Hence why there's so many, because of all of the, when you look at the West Riding, Leeds is by far the biggest city. So if Dewsbury's not busy, we'll go earn our money in Leeds, where it is.
Bob Beach expresses his preference. As a company, Uber stinks.
Agreed.
Couldn't agree more. As a female, as a company, Uber stinks. As a female, I wouldn't feel safe, says Batwinch. Mind you, males have the same problem as females do.
You know something that Batwinch, I disagree with that. And the reason I disagree with that is because if my wife's in Leeds, she goes for a meal, she can call the taxi from inside the restaurant. She sees it pulled outside. She sees it on the little map on her phone. So she doesn't have to be stood outside on the street waiting for it. She knows the registration number of the car that's coming to pick her up, so she can keep her eye out of the window and see the car pull up. She knows the make and model. And then when she gets in it, I can see on the map where she is in the car on her way home. So, and she doesn't have to carry money. The driver doesn't have to carry any money. So on that basis, I think it is safer in the experiences I've had of Uber.
I can only but agree myself.
No, but I see. I've had this with the London lot as well that are harp on about it. Well, they employ rapists. There was a guy. There was a couple of guys who opportunist rapists who took their opportunity. It's not okay, but there is every company in the world has the risk of taking on an opportune rapist. You could have a factory. You could hire someone to sweep the floor for you. If they get a woman in a corridor by themselves after hours, the same risk exists, if not worse, because they know. You know, if you're going to be raped or murdered, the statistic says 90% of the time it's going to be someone you know.
Yeah.
So
for me, yeah, for me it's safer.
Batwing says everywhere has one. I don't know whether that's in reference to everyone.
I was going
to
say
has something else, or whether everywhere has an opportune rapist, because we sold ours last year. We couldn't keep it. Jesus. Right. A good story, mate. Good story and excellent supporting information about the FCC closing their investigation from you, Ian.
FCC are starting to investigate them.
Ian, your story. UK watchdog tells ISPs to advertise real broadband speeds.
Yes, it's another thing where a campaign by which has finally come to through with the UK's ASA, Advertising Standards Agency. And from next year, we're going to have, allegedly, we've probably got them now, more truthful performance of the reported broadband speeds. So I think eventually we'll lose the up twos and asbestos and all that kind of cobblers that we see currently on our ads. And it will be more like, apparently you have to, about 50% of their users have to be able to get it at that peak speed. And they'll be tested and proven, it'd be proven apparently. So I don't know whether this will come to or not, but UK is a very diverse place in terms of broadband. Where I live, you've been here, you and you've seen what I'm basically at the end of the very end of the wire, with the frayed ends are connected up to the end of the street where my house is, and I get just about an internet up here.
I thought you were a string in a cup, mate. Sorry, my mistake.
We upgraded last year. We've got a long, long cable. They rolled it all the way down the road to the exchange, which is in the village, and it's ridiculous. I'm moving somewhere happily in the new year where there's a fibre cabinet outside my house. I'm very happy at this. I should be broadcasting with better speeds in the new year. But currently, it's I'm not the exception. There's many a village where they haven't got decent broadband. It's getting better and better. You do see more unconnected fibre cabinets as you run around the place now. So I'm hoping things are getting better. But just this is sort of the interesting thing of what people think about this, whether it's a good thing, a bad thing, whether it's actually anything, or it's just more marketing twaddle.
Well, a lot of people don't know what, yeah, we know what that up to thing means. You know, a lot of people just see the top speed and go, I'm probably going to get that.
Actually, Virgin 300 megabits a second, yeah, we'll have that.
Yeah.
Don't forget it. Because I think you probably either if they knew.
Yeah, they advertised to me I can get up to 75, but I get 36, I think. I pay the same price as someone who would get 75.
Yeah, but now that you might get an average of 42 in your area or whatever, you know, because it combines yours with the big and the small and the large. So hopefully that'll be better.
I think the interesting thing here is more that the body which is doing this is not Ofcom; it's the Advertising Standards Authority. So they're and this is where I'm quite impressed with this story, because Ofcom would have more power, I think, to ensure speed, whereas bragging about the speed is definitely in the remit of the Advertising Standards Authority. Mm-hmm. But if you're saying you can get up to, it's not something that the ASA would ever have done to say, well, you need to support evidence that 50% of your people can get that speed in order for you to say that. They would never be able to put a criteria like that in the past. And I don't know whether they've got some new powers to allow them to do this or not, because it's as long as the statement is true, you can get up to, because they've got a customer who gets up to, then the Advertising Standards Authority, as my understanding of it was a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago, wouldn't have had a leg to stand on. So I think there's some new powers that have come through here that have given them a bit more teeth, which is a great thing.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
I mean, it's always, say they've got more teeth, but we'll see some change. I mean, they've got control over the fact of what they can publish. I mean, true, you can go with a naughty advert once and hopefully get away with it. But after that, you're not going to do it again. That's the only thing is, you know how it is with a lot of company will advertise. They'll advertise and chance their arm a little bit to be on the edge of risque. And whatever it is they're choosing to do, whether it's their claim or whatever, enough people see it, they'll take them up on their offer before they have to pull it down. They'll get the risk slap, but they'll have made their money.
Yeah.
If I'm being cynical, old man, which I am.
Well, there's always been reparations, though.
Yeah, I know they'll get charged for it, but in the end, it probably won't. They've still run the business. Kind of thing.
If they're told that, you know, is there a deadline on this when they've got to start doing this? Cause...
Yes, there is. There was a date. I think it's like April next year, I believe.
So you'll see a huge push. In the next few months.
23rd of May. I was nearly right.
Yeah.
Although the only thing is their guidelines.
Yeah. See, maybe they haven't got enough power.
The words used here are guidelines.
In that case, I think maybe...
That's right. The last time they had to do was it says in that article there, I'd forgotten about that, was to make their pricing more transparent, because before they were saying, well, it's only a tenner a month, my rental, £500 kind of thing, which they've stopped doing now, and it's more transparent, the overall cost.
Yeah.
I think they haven't got more power. I think what they're doing is invoking something like, you know, when they say 8 out of 10 cats preferred it, and that's kind of stuff. And then they did the 8 out of 10 owners who expressed a preference said their cats preferred it. So they qualified the survey to make sure it was accurate, because the cat didn't say yes or no to anything. And that was a big issue. That was a massive issue for, was it Kitty Cat?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. So that was a massive issue, because people were like, no, how did the cat vote for Kitty Cat? It just doesn't spew up after it eats it. So... I think what they're saying here is you need to qualify the bar at which you've done. So now if you put in a survey that says 60% of women preferred L'Oreal replenishment hair gel, then you've got to say of 21 women surveyed or whatever it is. And it's always a stupidly low figure that you wouldn't like. That's not a survey. That's a nightmare.
Surveys are all toss. They're all complete toss.
You and Powerwish has just corrected us. It was Whiskers, not Kitty Cat.
Yeah, there we go. I don't know if Whiskers still goes. Deep Pan makes a good question. Will speeds be as important if the FCC kill off the net neutrality policy and your ISP can be very selective on what you can access? That's a really great point, and probably more discussion than we've got time for.
Yes.
But the FCC killing off net neutrality in the States shouldn't affect us anywhere near as much as it will affect the people in the States. And I've got to say, I can see net neutrality being a bit of a ping pong ball for the next few administrations, because you'll get a Democrat. There's no way that Trump's getting a second term. If he does, I mean, sorry, you all really deserve it, America. But if he gets a second term, then net neutrality will stay off. But if you get a Democratic president come in, then I can see net neutrality being reinstated. I can go backwards and forwards. So back when she's pointing out she's got 13 cats, therefore she's that's a survey. That's an entire survey, according to Whiskers, is 13 cats.
Do they like it?
Question.
Swan Rat says, I didn't vote for the orange gibbon. We have got some stuff in the chat room tonight that's completely contextual, haven't we? I think the ASA are flexing a bit of survey muscle there, maybe more than flexing a bit of, they haven't been given any new powers if it's only guidelines. That's sad. That's really sad. The broadband speed code of practice.
Yeah, let's see.
That's got wheat written all over it, hasn't it?
Yeah, completely.
Oh, dear. I mean, I find it quite difficult because I actually do get the speeds that relatively. So if I go up to the house now, we're supposed to be getting 200 down and 20 up. Oh, and I'll probably be getting about 110 down and nearly 20 up. I come to the office here, WarwickNet are brilliant. I do a speed test and it's like, bang, 80, bang, 20, that's it. Off you go. They really are providing exactly what they said they were going to provide. So I can't complain, but I'm not typical. You know, you two, there's two people here that are at the end of the wire. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Completely at the end of the wire.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing is we're at the end of the wire. We're in Coastal here, and Coastal gets fed from an exchange at the opposite end of the village, which is miles down. And if you buy a BT line down at this end, you will get between, they will guarantee between 1 and 4 megabits per second, and that's it. But, and they say, oh, no, there's no fibre to the industrial estate, so we can't put fibre in, I'm afraid. But I went to WarwickNet. Warwick said, yeah, no, all the infrastructure's there. All we've got to do is put a socket on for you, mate. No worries.
Yeah.
Thieving Dick bastards.
Yeah.
I pay for 50 down and 10 up. I get closer to 60 down and 12 up most of the time.
That's right. Nice.
Bloody hell.
That's where people can get it.
Oh, mate. Cinderella. Love it. I think, do you guys get the speeds that you're paying for, though?
No.
I get. I'm meant to get 75 down. If I look at the router, the console on the router, it normally says I'm getting around about 66, 68 down.
Yeah, I can live with that.
And 20 up. I get, if I do a speed test here now, I will be getting 20 up, but I'll only ever get around about 30, 35 down. And that's whether I'm wired, wireless, sat right next to the router, doesn't matter. I never get what it says on the router console.
No, same here.
Similarly over here, I'm probably getting about 12, realistically. I'm promised 24. And coming down, I'm lucky if I get a meg, I reckon.
Do you guys get the... So the one thing I've noticed, I don't get this on WarwickNet at all at the office. If I do a speed test, it literally just goes whomp and that's it. It's up for the whole test. If I do Virgin at home, it kind of shows, oh, I'm doing 20, I'm doing 30, I'm doing 40.
Yeah.
And then it. All of a sudden it's like, oh shit, he's watching. And
it gets vertical. Back a bit.
I get that loads on Virgin. Yeah. They've definitely got a spy thing that goes and sends it right up to...
It's probably traffic shaping on.
Yeah, probably.
But it's certainly been traffic changed. I mean, that amount of day, you're going to bound to be.
I'm not supposed to. So I pay for the gamer package, which they guarantee, in inverted commas, is 200 megabits a second, unshaped, unrestricted, unthrottled.
Oh, got terrible car.
Yeah, no, but I don't believe it either. I can believe, though, that they're sitting looking at my property going, well, hang on, he's not using very much at the moment, so let's give it over here. And then when I come on and go, what am I getting? They go, yeah, you're getting it, don't worry. And they shove it all back over. But I get there's got to be a kind of leveling algorithm running that says, well, look, if you're not using your bandwidth, why should we keep that pipe open for you? Let's give it to someone else in the local area. So they're kind of massaging it around.
Yeah. A
We need more teeth, I think, with that kind of stuff. But having said that, I know that in built-up areas, most of us are getting the speeds we're paying for. It's only the outlying areas that are really struggling. So stuff the lot of you. I'm happy. I pay for 20 to 200, 200 for 20, and get 215 for 22, says Deep Pan.
All sounds good.
BTN is getting regularly more than anyone than what they're paying for. Keep that quiet, Deep Pan. Keep that well quiet. Righty boy, what's your story, dude?
Well, as I said to you when we were talking earlier today, my story is something I want to talk about for a while, but it comes in the form of a story about something that happened to me today.
Okay.
So I was in hospital this morning, had an appointment, and it was quite far away from, yeah, I've turned into a BTN story as well as. It was a 14 quid cab ride away. I thought, well, that's a bit excessive. Now, we've got this thing just launched in Norwich called Offo. It's one of these bike sharing services.
Right.
So it's come over from China. They call it the Uber of China, which probably tells you how good it is. They rolled it out in Cambridge earlier this year, and it's now in Norwich. And I thought, oh, well, so what you do is you get the app, you sign up, you put your credit card in, then look at a map. It shows where all their bikes are. They're all over the city. And then what you're meant to do is go up to the bike, you scan the QR code on the bike, it unlocks the bike, you cycle it to wherever you want to go, and then you leave it wherever you want and someone else picks it up. And I thought, that's going to be a great idea for today. Checked last night, no bikes around me, which is weird because it's advertised at the university, which is far from here. There might be 200 bikes in Norwich, so I could see three. I thought, when I wake up in the morning, there'll probably be a few more around where I live. And I was like, okay, check this morning. No bikes around near me. I thought, well, there'll be some at the uni. There's 200 of them. Check there, no bikes. I'm like, okay, fine. Got 14 quid cab ride to the hospital, and 14 quid cab ride in Norwich, that's probably about 4 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, we get absolutely stiff, so we could do with an Uber. But I thought, it's a lovely day. I'm going to walk back. Now, it would take me 2 hours to walk home. And I was prepared to do that, but I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk home and I'm going to try and pick up one of these bikes on the way home so I can do the majority of the distance walking, biking. So got about two-thirds of the way home. One of these bikes popped up on my map. It said it's 400, 500 meters away. It was in the wrong direction. I thought, well, not a problem, because if I get the bike, I can make that distance back. Went to where they said the bike was, nowhere to be seen. So looked everywhere for it, couldn't find it. Thought, well, I've just walked nearly half a K for no reason. So I had to walk back the other way. Quarter mile from where the bike should be, I found it. Smashed up, wheels nicked, everything. I was like, oh, that's great. Now, I'm a good Samaritan, so I tweeted the company, added the location data with a photo and said, here's your bike, come and get it. And also pointed out to them that your GPS is off because it's not where you say it's going to be. I carried on walking home. This is a bit of a long story. I do apologize.
No, carry on. It's all right.
And I saw another one. It was about another 400 meters out of my way. And I thought, okay, I'll go and see this bike. It wasn't where they said it was going to be. It was probably about 200 meters away, which is a fair distance away from where it should be,
yeah,
the way GPS is. I saw the bike. I thought, that's great. I got on it, unlocked it, journey started. Went to pedal, no chain. I was like, oh, for God's sake. So again, did the right thing, tweeted them, picture, location data. Starting to get a bit miffed with them. So if you look at, on my Twitter feed, there's a bit of a tweet storm at them. So I thought, okay, I'll keep going. And then there's another one. So this one could only be in one place because it is a car park. So I went to find it, couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like, oh, for God's sake. So I reached out to them and I said, well, what's going on here? I said, your GPS is off, your bikes are screwed, your service is rubbish. How could anyone rely on it? And if you read my story at BTN, I've got a tweet they've allowed me to quote from their Twitter feed, but I've also got in touch with their PR department today as well. I was that miffed. And I've got a statement from the head of PR. And they said, oh, well, we are going to improve the service. We are going to sort the GPS out. Their map, you know, like when you're using like Google Maps or Apple Maps, you like hit where your location is and it knows the direction you're traveling. So it kind of points to the way you're facing. Well, their map doesn't do that. You have to manipulate it to go the right way. I thought, well, this service you're admitting is not fit for purpose. It's not ready out of the door. And it got me thinking, there's lots of companies now where stuff is just coming out not ready anymore. So you take something like iOS 11, that came out so unfinished, and it's still unfinished. And then if you buy a computer game now, you buy the disc, you put it in, and you've got to wait like 3 hours to download 50 gigs of updates. And is it, so my kind of theory is, are servers just getting rushed out so people can make the bang for their buck? Or is there just no like QA or quality control anymore? Because you're seeing it from companies like Apple, and all these big game companies, and these companies like Ofo who are trying to make a service that people rely on, you just hear about it more and more.
I think the thing is, now I'm I'm seeing this in my own industry with a particular application I support, that you could write every service pattern at least of the particular application I support would be rock solid. You knew you could trust it, was it was going to be all right. And now it seems perpetually I'm feeding bugs back to the developers. It's getting worse and worse. And we're getting, I think now that and dev time is getting harder and harder to get hold of. And I think every week there's a new pack of hot fixes to go on top of the product, on top of the service patterns already released. And you start to think that basically all the devs are doing is trying to fix the bugs they've released in SP9, SP8, SP9, whatever the service pattern was. And so it starts to make you wonder that there's the marketing drive to get these products and get these changes, these new things into whatever it be with the iOS or the application I support, keeps becoming the demand on the developers and demand. It's so much of you've got the marketing boys behind them with a stick saying, go on, I need to read something new. I need to read something new. We need to keep the market going because everything's so instant now. And it's not, you get a magazine published and, oh, look, there's a new version of what's it coming out. Well, I might get that. You don't have that anymore because everything's so now. We can't keep up with now because it isn't possible. So service like your Ofo thing, like iOS 11, which is still frankly going to maybe send me to iOS back to Android faster than anything else, is endemic, I think, of our now culture.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Grumpy old Ian takes his 50p back out of the slot, but it is. It's that thing of that drive of must have it now, must have it now, must have it now.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
A lot of these services, like your phone operating system or your things for work, are things that people rely on.
And I think they rush the backup products in the world, and that each time every time I install a service pack now, I'm slightly concerned it causes more problems than it does for my customers, and that's tricky to deal with.
Yeah, can we do big upgrades at work and all that sort of thing? And it always breaks something. They've not looked at every single. I know, like, if you push a lot of, if they do testing in house and all that sort of thing, it's different when you push it out to so many people. But the amount of bugs you've seen in iOS 11, it's been huge.
Oh yeah, there seems to be. I've never seen a release like this before. I mean, you do wonder if it's again, it's also that thing of. They're trying to make things do more and more. My product is, like I say, a backup product. So it touches every bit of technology you could think of in a modern enterprise. And it has to be able to talk to its APIs and back it up. Or like an iOS phone now, which has to be able to talk to set of headphones, Bluetooth devices, and all these kind of fancy home type devices. Well, I've got one of those little Amazon things in the corner there, so I can't say its name, but those. And all of those sort of things are all around us. That these things need to interact with all the smart home technology in our phones. Again, all these new things, it's too many things at once.
Yeah.
Again, maybe I'm being old-fashioned again.
I can kind of understand it when you've got an Android device or you've got a Microsoft PC where there's so many different bits of hardware interacting with so many other bits of hardware and being able to control that. I think you're probably going to see bugs in a lot of platforms, and a lot of elements and crossover different elements of software. But what I don't understand, and obviously it's not Apple shows, but when you've got something like iOS coming out with bugs, which absolutely shouldn't be, but I get it and I see it in other pieces of software just because it's that vast. And you're right, Ian. There's nowhere near enough dev time put into a lot of these releases now. A lot of them are just rushed out. A lot of them are there to patch other bugs and just cause further issues down the line. But I just don't get, when you've got a walled garden scenario, why products are basically put out into market, probably to meet financial demands and to meet shareholder demands, but rolling out with bugs in there shouldn't happen.
No, it's just a step.
Oh, yeah, we'll fix it. We'll fix it. We'll get some more live development time in of the people actually using it. And then again, that's equally as poorer practice than ever I've seen.
To be fair, though, can we just verify that the Ofo bikes were vandalised and stolen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So to give, let's cut them some slack on that.
Oh, we're not having a go at Ofo. We're more having a go of
The conversation
thing of not
started
being ready
about
for market
it,
as because
not being
they
ready
like
for,
to be.
Yeah. Okay. But the conversation there is about it not being ready for market. It's ready in the way that they wanted to use it. What they found out is that the twats of Norwich have got hold of them rather quickly. And the buckling on that one wheel is just, I mean, that's someone's kicked the shit out of that.
Well,
maybe. Have you considered for a second, Righty, that that might have been a horse that buckled that wheel?
frightened
at the risk of redundancy. No.
Rebellion.
Have
you seen bikes before in Norwich? Right, and do they know what they are?
It's the Tolpuddle maze running rampant round.
But your ones in Norwich, right, have a big wheel at the front and a little one at the back.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a big wheel round your bloody head.
This is the black cab Uber argument of Norwich, this. This is horse versus offer.
How can I take something so serious? It comes down to pin Norfolk.
Mate.
You've been on my bike like now.
I said my sister ran your race.
No, these are vandalised bikes. So the fact that they're vandalised means that, you know, if the app's showing them 200 yards out of location, there could be damage to the GPS, etc. as well as. I'm trying to play, you know, huzzah that they're trying to do something different, but I think in application, are these things, are they shoved in the park in bicycle stands like they are with the Boris bike, or do they work differently from that? Roaming.
So basically when they're not being used, they say they want you to put them in bike friendly locations, but people just dump them anywhere. So one, they should be keeping track of where their bikes are, because where they are aren't bike friendly locations. Now, when the bike locks, what it does, it's got a mechanism on the back wheel that locks itself.
Oh, hence the reason that someone's taken their frustration out on it.
Yeah.
Got you, because they couldn't make it.
But my biggest issue, in which they admitted in the conversation I had with them, is their GPS is off. They know it's off. You know, and if you're off by half a kilometre, that's pretty bad. Because I don't know what technology they're using for their GPS, but it certainly isn't right.
On that picture, right, it's what's happened then on that picture, and that whoever's, it's the one with the buckled back wheel. Yeah. Is this a scenario where the last person who's had it, they've not even tried to put this back in the lockable bike stand from what I can see on the picture. That looks like it's just been dumped.
Well, that's what you do with them. You just leave them wherever you end up.
So you don't put them back in a bike stand?
No.
No, well, that's what they want you to do. They want you to put them in bike-friendly areas.
No, but what we're saying is, Righty, there is no points like there is with the Santander bikes and the Boris bikes where you have to put them in a thing to get your money back. These things just stop charging once you don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, for me, that's stupid business model, and you're asking for these bikes to get nicked or damaged. I think if you have to go from A to B, but what you have to do is lock the bike up at the nearest lockable off-road bike stand to your point B, and then when you return it there, it locks. It tells offer know that you have returned that bike at that point. You walk away. I think if the scenario is that you're meant to do that and you don't, and then there's damage to the bike, then they've got your credit card details. They should come and have a chat with you and probably charge you for the damage for not locking it up. Yeah. But I think if the business model is just bonk it against the fence.
But this is the whole point. So the whole point is they should forecast that people are twats and they're going to, you know, smash these bikes up. But the fact I'm having to send them pictures of location data of their own bikes means that they're not actually keeping on top of their network.
You've got to say twats. Bob Beach says you need to show title this Twats of Norwich. But you've got to say Twats of Norwich sounds like a really shit furniture store, doesn't it? It's one of those things that you'd have in the 70s just after the Crossroads.
Well, it'd be sign of the week, wouldn't there, after all?
Deep Pad says, how on earth in Norwich did they manage to take a bike chain off without opposable thumbs?
You up for some beeping tonight, mate?
If you're listening in Norwich, well done. Oh, man.
You're a bunch of bastards.
We love Norwich. Norwich is our favourite place, as well as, what's her name? I was going to say Macaulay Culkin, but she's not the one that was on the wrecking ball. What's the one on the wrecking ball?
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus loves Norwich.
Miley Cyrus.
Great story, mate. Great story. I couldn't have picked better myself. My story, right? And this is not. It's a kind of a bit of a story and a bit of a rant. Okay. So did you all see that EA has decided to charge for the locker boxes? Now, I don't want to talk about the EA thing with Star Wars because that's not the thrust of what I'm saying. But they're charging for these locker boxes, loot boxes, and you have to then get to the stage where you can pay more money to get more stuff to improve your chances and get better kit and that kind of stuff. And it's basically a cash cow for EA. On top of the fact they're probably charging you 60 quid already.
They have,
for the game. And I've got a really annoying advert that won't piss off on the thing. So sod off, will you? Go away. So anyway, so this guy turns out from Hawaii state capital and says, we're going to legislate against this because this kind of practice is really, really bad. But and this has shown how bad it is. And I just sat and thought to myself, you don't get out much, do you, mate? Because this is rife. The Apple Store is rife with applications. Oh, God, yeah. And he said, this is a casino for kids. And it is. Absolutely is the EA stuff. But it's already out there. So I recommended this game, and I do like playing it. It's called Soccer Stars, and it's available on the App Store. And it's a little punty soccer game type thing like Sabutio with five players, and you just skim and pull back and shoot with a thing. And I'm addicted to it. I really enjoy playing it. And I recommended it, and I do recommend it because I haven't spent a penny on it, and you don't have to spend a penny on it to play it. But here's my problem. You look at the age rating on it, this is rated for a four-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the game, you get a Wheel of Fortune every day. You get to spin the Wheel of Fortune. You can buy extra spins on the Wheel of Fortune to win more stuff. Sorry, that's gambling.
Yeah.
And also...
gambling.
Oh, hey, this is the best bit, right? Also, you play against people, and you have to pay to play against those people. So the two of you, you go to a desired field with different types of matches, and there's matches that go from 100 coins up to 1 million coins a time, just for one match. So you say, right, I want to play for 1 million coins, and you go in that match, and you play for 1 million coins with the person. Whoever wins and gets up to the first to three goals or whatever it is, whatever the threshold is for that that stadium, then they win the pot of money. But here's the best bit. The house takes 20% of your winnings.
What? Yes.
So it is a gambling app.
That's a casino. Yeah.
That's definitely gambling right there.
So I went in and I said, right, I just want to practice because I'm offline. But it knew how many coins I had, and it charged me 25 coins to practice offline. And it only let me play to three goals, and then it kicked me out. So then I had to pay another 25 coins to practice offline. And the whole thing of this, and this is the other thing, you friend people in it as well, and this is a bit of a con. You friend a person, you go, oh, I'll friend this person because I just had a good game with them. It'd be great if I saw them again. I'd love to play them again. You're friending that person so that you are gambling that you will remain above them in a league table. If they jockey over you, they take 800 coins off you and the house takes 20%. And if you get over them, then they end up giving you coins and the house takes 20%. It's not a friend's thing like, oh, I saw you online, so I waved and had a game with you.
Yeah.
This whole thing is gambling. It is as pure a gambling situation I've ever seen. Now, I'm 50 years old. I know what's coming. I haven't spent a penny on it. I'm gambling with the house's money. And when the house says, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to have to give us some money, I'm going to piss off. Not interested. Yeah. Thanks very much. I might buy a few coins just because the developers put some time in. It is a pleasant game to play, and I have had good use out of it. So I feel if I spent a fiver on it, that's it. That's cool. And I've done that with games where I've just said, okay, well, I'll give you some money because I really enjoy it, but I don't like your practices of in-app purchase.
Well, we said that, didn't we? WGT.
Yeah, and
then it got silly. And there were elements of that, albeit, I've just for a quick check then, that's got a 17-plus age rating on it. But that had an element. Every day that you went in there, there was the ability to spin for coins that you could use for clubs and play against. So even that had a gambling ability, but certainly not to this level.
Yeah. So I've just got myself on a little crusade, because when this guy came out and said it, and I thought to myself, you don't get out much, I went and looked at all the applications that I've downloaded that I play, and there's quite a number of them that have got this kind of practice, and they're rated. Well, I don't have a problem with them doing what they're doing, but I have a problem with them being 4+. So yeah. My kids can play this. Your kids, your Erin, mm-hmm. Camps, she can play it.
Yeah.
Do you want her spinning a wheel of fortune every day and going, oh, Daddy, look, if I spin again, I can get more coins. Can you buy me some more coins, please, so I can spin again?
No.
Not happening. And the other things as well, dual currency. So you get coins and you get tickets, and you can't get certain stuff with coins and you can't get certain stuff with tickets. Or your coins run out too fast, so you have to buy tickets if you want to get more coins. And that's, it is an absolute con. I'm wise to it because I'm 50 years old, but there are plenty of people out there that aren't. And I've written to Apple. And I've said, this is a cash cow casino, and you need to investigate this. It is a shame on you if you do nothing based on my email. And yeah, I hope they haven't replied yet. How many applications have you got on your phone that have this kind of practice, chaps?
I was just thinking, there's loads, but in slightly different forms. And is it the Disney Sumsum game? A doc picked it as a pick. Maybe a year or two back, yeah. And that, although that doesn't have the Wheel of Fortune type thing on it, there's the element of buying. I don't know if it's buying some sort of gems. I'm just trying to load it now to find it, but I think it might take a bit of a while. There's gems, and you can load certain levels, if I remember right, with gems, right. And then there's diamonds, which aren't gems, but you can't use gems and diamonds together. Yeah. And it's a very similar principle. But Erin will come to me 2, 3, 4 times a week. Can I have a new game on my iPad, Dad? And, right, what is it you're after? And she doesn't know. She just wants a new game. So we start having a look. And we've talked about this several times in the past. I'd rather pay 2, 3, 5 quid for a game. And she's got it then. She can play it. I love the fact if there's a little bit of a demo version, because knowing what she's like, she'll play it for one day and then say it's rubbish and then ask for another fiver. And I don't mind the single in-app purchase as a light version to full version. I'm happy with that. But when you look through, and obviously in the App Store, you can look for categories games and you can define them via age range. It is really, really difficult now to find a game in there that is a one-off single payment and the game's yours. They're nearly all in-app purchase, and nearly all the in-app purchases are... So this might be you dress up a doll, a bit like the old style Girls World type thing, and it might be right for these set of dresses. It's $1.99 for a set of hair clips. It's 99p for a makeup or a hairdryer or whatever it might be. And when you tot it all up, and there's 10, 15, 20 quid's worth of in-app purchases, yeah, just for a like you've said in the past with Ellis, for a set of bitmaps. For a different colour dresses. I think the in-app purchase element is just getting way out of hand now in terms of games. But it's certainly the way that everyone's carrying on with it.
It's the same with console games as well, isn't it? You buy a game for 60 quid, and then if you want the full experience, you've got to pay it more and more. But you've already paid 60 quid. You think, well, I've bought the game now. But if you want to play the maps that everyone else is playing or have this and that, you know, if you get a free game, like you say, the in-app purchase to make it a full version. But if you pay, I bought Battlefront 2, 60 quid, and bits are going to come along soon. I know there's the loot crates out, but they're going to add expansion packs and stuff, because there's no money in one-off purchases anymore. They want this either subscription model or, you know, these recurring payments, because that's where the money is.
Yeah, I got Assassin's Creed the other week when it came out, and I've bought every single one in the franchise, and I installed it, and I got really badly hawked, because it said, oh, no, I need an update. So, because I've kept the Xbox offline here, because I just couldn't cope with the data loss. I only get 500 gig a month. So I thought, no, okay, I'll switch it on. So I switched it on so it could get the update, so it could install. I didn't switch it off again. I didn't switch the feature off, but I switched the Xbox off, and the Xbox wasn't switched off, and the Xbox said, oh, I've got loads of updates to do. So it downloaded 65 gig overnight off me bandwidth. And I'm like, oh, I haven't got that much. That's a week of shows, you bastard. So I took it offline again. But then when I'm playing the game, there's a bit of me was kind of like, as soon as I started, I'm paying 50 quid for a new map here, because it's similar kind of, you go everywhere, you climb up, you synchronize, you fight, you get stuff.
Same game.
But then that's the franchise, you know, so that's okay. But then there was things that I could buy extra that came into it, things I could get through the Ubisoft store and stuff like that. And I just, at that point, I was like, this is the last one I'm buying. You know, the fact that you've charged me 50 quid for another map, fair enough. You know, I can be pissed off at that. But the fact that you're now thinking about in-app purchases on a game this big at this price, I'm not happy. And the thing is as well, that really annoys me is that there's all the cutscenes that probably cost a fortune to make. There's voice actors, there's animation, there's music that goes with it, there's a text that's got to be written and a script. And I don't want any of that. As soon as they come up, I just press B because all I've got to do is say, well, what's my mission objectives? That's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't want a film. I want a freaking game. Stop making films and you'll save a ton of money. And you'll keep your people happy because most of the people just want a freaking game.
Exactly.
But the reason they do it is because of the fact then the game runs out. So you've only had 25 hours gameplay if you skip all the cutscenes instead of 50 hours if you don't skip the cutscenes. So they're a pain. Deepan makes a good point. Is Apple getting 30% of those transactions? Yes, they are. Yes, they definitely are.
Yeah.
And on that basis, I'm sorry, Tim, but you need to grow a moral big one, mate, because that's not okay. Not okay at all. Will anything happen, though? No. Are we interrupting your... Are you clipping your toenails or something there, Ian?
No, that was me getting out of the box.
It's like, just clip your toenails while you were talking.
I thought I was on mute, sorry.
We might have weird black and white cabs up here in Yorkshire, but we clip our toenails whenever we bloody like it. Piss off. Right. Okay. This podcast is brought to you by UK2. They're bloody awesome. We love them to bits, and you've got to check them out. I say it every week. But I've bought a couple of domains off them the last couple of weeks that have been really good. I've set this place up as Kozel Studios now because the white room's nearly done. It's being plastered on Saturday. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then you've got, I bought another one as well for work, which was good. And Patrick, who's in our Slack room, said, I just want to shout out how good UK2 customer service is. And I said, well, why don't you put it on Twitter, mate, and tell them that you found it through British Tech? And sure enough, he did. So check them out. They're really, really great. BritishTech.com/sponsors if you want to see their link through. /UK2 as well. We'll get you direct in to sign into your account, and they'll know that you're a returning customer from us with the tracking link. So please check them out. We're also waiting on Hoya. I've got to go and get my nose re-scanned. This is the best bit. I said to Mark, I know my nose scan's gone wrong, mate. What do you want me to tell everyone? And he said, just tell them that the geometry of your nose is incorrect. So there you go. It's my fault. I've got a little bit here. Look, if you look at my nose, it's just here. You see, it comes out and then goes back. And because the laser looks like this, it doesn't pick that bit up. So
you're holding him wrong.
I'm holding him wrong. I get raw chicken in restaurants, mate. It's bloody typical, this. Sodding typical. Everyone else's face, of course, is being scanned by Unique without any problems whatsoever, and they're all bastards are getting their glasses. So I'm not. I've got to go back and get mine done when they update the software. So, is it too many broken uses due to rugby? Actually, do you know, I broke my nose once playing rugby, and I've broken my nose 7 times playing cricket. In fact, all of the serious injuries I've ever had were playing cricket, not playing rugby. I think I've had a groin strain, dislocated finger, and 1 broken nose. That's it in rugby. Cricket, I've broke my ankle, broke my leg, broke my nose, Christ knows how many times, lost that tooth.
Used to work with a lad as a wicket keeper, and he always had broken fingers.
That one was wicket kicking there. Cut it in half. Exercise is bad for you, says Batwitch. No, it's not. We're good. And 1st of December, we're going to start the Spider 5 competition. You'll enjoy that. We've got 2 shows going each week. Right, time for the cool thing. Starts off, Monsieur Capion.
Okay, so I'm back with some running tech this week. In fact, let me get the link. Sorry, I should have the link in the chat room. I've been having a play with the Milestone pod. So it's this. I don't know if you can see that on the camera. So running, I think a lot of people might think that running's a bit of a cheaper or even a free method of exercise. And it generally is, apart from all of the vast amounts of tech that you can get to play with, GPS watches and things like that. The GPS watches are brilliant. It's my birthday next week, and I've got a new watch coming. So that'll be my cool thing, hopefully, in a couple of weeks' time. But what this milestone pod is, clip it on the front of your running shoes. Just clip it around your laces. You do an initial setup with an app that's on iOS or Android. And that's it. There's no turning it on, there's no turning it off, there's no GPS on board. It's £30. It's not a lot of money if you don't want to go to the expense of a full-on GPS watch. But what you can do is it calculates through a series of algorithms, takes probably two or three runs to sort of become efficient and really start working for you and giving some consistent measures for you. But what it does is it gives you, when you finished your run, you come back. So you don't see anything real time as such, but you come back, it gives you your pace, it gives you your shoe odometer, so you can keep an eye on how many miles you've been running in your shoes through a series of algorithms. It measures your stride length, cadence, ground contact time, your leg swing, the duration, the distance that you've been out through, obviously calculating pace and things like that. The rate of impact, whether you're a toe, mid, or a heel striker. So what it basically does is it gives you a data set to help fine tune your running efficiency. And then you can go one better. You can link it to Garmin devices and quite a lot of other Bluetooth enabled running watches. And as well as all the GPS data that your watch gives you, it links in and helps support the amount of data. So within Garmin Connect, as an example. But I think if someone's getting into running, they want to know a little bit about the data, but they don't want to go whole hog and start chucking money at a GPS watch, then at £30, this is a brilliant little device. And if you've got a GPS watch, but you want a little bit more data, maybe a little bit more accurate data in terms of things like your ground contact time, leg swing, cadence, and things like that, it's brilliant. And I'm finding the data that's coming out of it really helpful, just in terms of me sort of tuning my running form a little bit to try and make myself a little bit efficient, a little bit more efficient. So as I'm training for some half marathons and a marathon next year, hopefully I'll be able to get there without being quite so tired.
So you got so much data that you haven't got time to go out running anymore.
Well, I'm a geek.
I can't
do my run, come home, shower, and then sit on the sofa not talking to my wife for the next hour because I'm looking at all the data and trying to think how I can make myself a bit more efficient next time I go out.
Yeah, you're getting divorced.
That sounds really good. It's like the old night pod that you used to get for the night plus pods, isn't it?
Same sort of thing. $29.99, and at that price, you can afford to get a couple, for each different pair of running shoes that you've got, whether you're road runners or trail runners and stuff, and they just clip on, the really easy, really light. I really like it.
That sounds cool.
I forgot Ian was a runner as well. God, here we go.
I am a runner as well. I haven't been. I'm shamefully haven't been running much in the last 6 months. I've got to start picking it back up again because I'm starting to get rounder now.
That's why I started.
I used to run and I wasn't as round, and I stopped, and this year's been busy and I haven't had as much time is the excuse I'm using, and I've had various things wrong with me, and now I'm sort of better again. Now I should be back running again.
$29.99 available on Amazon, so it'll be there, and it's on Prime as well, so you get it the next day.
Yeah, I'm left to have a look at that.
Oh dear. Ian, what have you got for us?
I've got this thing, I whack it in the chat room. Mechanical keyboard. I decided I need a better keyboard for myself. I don't use it here because you'd be complaining at me all the time. It's got proper cherry keys, like the good old-fashioned MX keyboards of old, which gives this nice satisfying click and clatter when you type on it. I wanted a cheap one to try and have a go with one and see if the noise was too annoying or not. And I quite like this one. I've got it on my work PC in the office. It's a 10 keyless keyboard as well, so it's a slightly different layout. It does away with the numpad, a bit like some of the Apple keyboards are, where you don't get the numpad, you just get the arrow keys and the home sort of section. And it's really nice. The only thing with that keyboard is it's kind of a half UK, half US layout, so the apps in the Apple place. And the and so your backslash doesn't work quite properly. You've got a faff between UK and US layouts to get it work properly. I've got a proper big enter key there. So the silly narrow ones, the American Jews.
Yeah, no, I mean, did you type faster with that, though? Because I can't believe you would.
Oh, you do type. If you're, I'm nowhere near a good type, but it's just a more satisfying keyboard to type on. Right. It's a bit. It's not quite got the old fashioned buckling springs of those old IBM ones, but it's still got that nice feel of a proper keyboard.
Yeah.
For twenty odd quid to have a muck about with it was perfect.
Does anyone follow TJ Manatok? He's come on the Mac Show a few times. He's a sportscaster in the Philippines. He's got like 2 million followers on Twitter. There was a keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard that was put out, and it was like one of those old typewriters with the big suspended keys. And they'd made it, and it's fully mechanical keyboard, but it was Bluetooth.
If you ever look at a thing called Mastrop, there's a whole world of mechanical keyboards. You can build your own. The only trouble is it's very US-led, so most of the keyboard layouts are the US layout rather than the UK ones. So you don't get proper key, you don't get your proper enter key and things. It does drive me crackers after a while. But this one isn't. This one's got a UK layout. I'm going to have a look around so if I can find another a better one than this, I think, still eventually and at some point. It is a nice thing to type on.
So it's $22.99 available on Amazon again with Prime. Superb, not too bad at all. The only thing that keeps me at the Apple keyboard is the fact I love that my mouse receiver is in the little underport there. And until
yeah, that is a good idea.
That's got that, I'm loath to separate. So good one, good pick, mate. Thank you, Righty Boy.
Well, some may find it a bit dull, but I don't. I haven't changed my browser in years since I moved to Chrome, but I've been really surprised with the brand new version of Firefox. Don't know if any of you tried it.
No.
Yeah, I had to go briefly this week.
Yeah, so they've completely basically rebuilt it from the ground up. I think if you remember, Firefox was great alternative for nerds when in the old IE days when you want something a bit better with tab browsing and all that sort of stuff. When that used to use the old Gecko rendering engine, but they've built it with the new Quantum engine, and it's twice as fast as any other browser, and it really is fast. Because obviously for a living I do a lot of work online looking for design stuff and researching and all that sort of thing, and also Chrome's a bit of a memory hog, it slows things down, so the new Firefox is built to be 2 times faster. It doesn't hold up memory, unlike Chrome, it's got a lot more privacy features, all that sort of stuff. And I was reading an interview with their CEO, and they are looking to kind of claw back some of that market share that they lost. I don't know if it's going to work, but this is a really good start for them. And, you know, I thought I'd give it a go for a week just to see how it works. And I haven't really gone back to Chrome that much. The only problem you have with it doesn't play nice with Google's apps. And I think that's something that they probably do on purpose to cripple other people's apps or cripple other people's browser with their apps to make Chrome look faster. But my Mac runs faster when I'm using it because I have Chrome open all the time and my memory's always going through the roof. And I've got 32 gig of RAM in this and it still slows down. And it's free. It's worth having a go if you want to see what Firefox is like nowadays.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. What, that love free as well. Can't fault that.
Also on the swing by Opera as well. That's really good now.
Yeah, what I'm Opera's using. Always been good, hasn't it? They invented tab browsing and all the cool stuff, and then everyone else stole it. My cool thing, you'd laugh at me here, is a Honeywell space heater. There you go.
Ooh.
It's big, it's red, it's shiny, it's super gorgeous. It's like a cherry red Stratocaster. It's got an old front look thing, like an old front grill like that, and an old rear grill and so on. Yeah, brilliant. Love it to bits. Now, the reason I bought this is I'm getting the white room plastered this weekend. Did I mention that? Because I'm really excited. But the white room's being plastered. And at the moment in the workshop, it's really, really cold during the day. So if anyone comes and hires it, it's like, okay, it's brass monkeys out there. So I bought two of these so that I could heat the space, heat the room. Because the one thing that you can guarantee a model will always do is complain about the temperature. And they're less clothed than you, generally speaking, for some of the people at our studio. So I thought it would be a good addition. It's got a little lever on the side here. This is the coolest thing, look. And you turn that and it lifts the feet up, look. So you can tilt it.
Oh, yeah.
we'll get back in.
That's a great price.
$54.99. They're brilliant. Ooh, absolutely love something. It. And it's hot, almost like instant. You turn it on and it's like, and that's it, it's hot then. It's gone. It's up and running. Love it to bits. It's the Honeywell HZ51E1 heavy duty fan heater, and I got two of them for the studio room. There you go. Where can we get a hold of you, Camps?
You can get me on Campion UK on Twitter. You can get me in the Slack room. I've still got quite a few reviews to get finished off, so hopefully in the next couple of weeks, as work calms down, I'll be able to get them finished on an evening, and I'll get them up on the BTN site.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Where are you, Mr. Grant? Thank you for coming back as well, by the way.
That's no problem, mate. I said if it came Thursday when I saw you, I said it starts on Thursday and I should be able to sort of fit you in a bit easier. Cool. Me, I'm at TIOABOA on Twitter, and eventually I do occasionally post things there. I always get better at that. I say this every time. I'm in the Slack room at that as well. You find me there occasionally. Otherwise, I'll be somewhere another fixing someone's systems in my usual manner.
Excellent, mate. And when you're in Birmingham, eating curry with me.
Indeedy.
I'll have to come and meet you in town next time, and we'll try out bars.
Yes. Town bars was round by where I am. People say it's good.
Okay. Well, I'll be coming to you next time then. And no last worries. But by no means least, Righty Boy, where are you?
Bums on Twitter, mate, in the Slack room, and back on the old reviews on BritishTechNetwork.com.
Quick shout out to Darren Griffin. He's not doing very well at the moment. He's one of the big mates of BTN, the Mac Fixer. So get well soon, mate, and be well and look after yourself. Don't push yourself too hard, mate. We'll be back again tomorrow with the Mac Show as normal. We're moving the big show to Thursday night. So if you like coming along live, then Thursday nights is the night at 8 p.m. because we're going to get more guests on. Particularly the Brits within that period of time. So we should have an awful lot more rotation of the panel and stuff. And Mac Show is going to stay as it is at Friday at 4 o'clock. So that means then the weekend can start after the Mac Show, which is the way it used to be and the way it should be. Because I always knack it afterwards. I can't look two shows in the face anymore on a Friday. You know? It just drives me mad. See you all soon. Thanks for listening.
See you later, guys.
I feel like I've forgotten something.
No.